Edwards really ran a lot better than Collins, but I just didn't think this guy was even one on the team, two going to be heavily involved like this on the fucking offense. I was just blown away because I was like, it's Alex Collins day. So it's a risk. It's a risky pickup, but it's also one that could be a league winning pickup. You just have to have, again, bigger balls than me, which I can't do it.
You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, where men of fantasy genius have realized, hey guys, we don't need real football skills to dominate on the fantasy field. Yeah. So slap on your pads and grab your helmet. Shit's about to get real.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Let's Talk Fantasy Football. I'm your host tonight. My name is Nick Walsh. I'm here with my good friend, my usual co-host, and my fellow Tuesday night warrior, that's Vinny Gonzalez. Vinny, what's going on, dude?
Hello, hello. Happy Turkey Week.
Yeah, happy Turkey Week. It should be a fun one. That means we got three games on Thursday as opposed to the usual one. Vinny and I will be previewing all three of those tonight for you guys. We're also going to be talking the news from this week, the injuries, some interesting performances, and whatever else we really feel like. Who knows? But anyway, before we do get into that, Vinny, I want to let you guys know that we are here courtesy of Auction Draft. So while the NFL season is nearly over, honestly, your hopes of drafting a fantasy team for 2018 are not gone, because with Auction Draft, you can draft your team at any time, have a 5-week season with your friends. That way, when you pay way too much for Le'Veon Bell, hoping he shows up, you get another shot to get it right for 5 weeks. So sign up now by going to letstalkfantasyfootball.com/auction draft. Use that promo code LTFF. Get yourself 50% off your league. I haven't confirmed with the guys over at Auction Draft, but my understanding would be that week 13, it would be the last time you can start a 5-week season. So make sure you guys are getting in now while you still have a chance. So Vinny, we've got a jam-packed show. My roommates are both gone, so I'm out in the living room like old times, like I used to be.
Nice.
Instead of locked in my room, because my roommates are gone, I am also standing completely naked, holding my microphone. So the webcam that Vinny has to see is just on my dick and balls.
Honestly, the best view I've ever had.
Yeah, I'm surprised Vinny hadn't mentioned it already, because it is such a stark difference than normal. No, that's I'll let you the listener decide whether or not that's true. But Vinny, in all seriousness, we got to talk about this fucking Monday night game, man. Because before we get into anything else, I mean, like, just if not the best game that I've ever seen or the best football game I've ever watched, it is at least the most compelling and entertaining example of, like, this is modern football that I've ever seen in my life. You know, just these two teams with these incredible offenses going nuts, the defense is getting turnovers. Like, dude, it was like, I mean, you and I were both just like, oh, like we couldn't fucking control ourselves.
Yeah, it was fucking wild, dude. Like, I'm almost speechless, like thinking about it again, because it was really, really something, just like incredible. Even if you're not a football fan watching that, it was just completely bananas. I thought what was like the funniest takeaway for me was probably the like old timer kind of argument, like there's no more defense anymore. And like, if you watch that game, there was a ton of defense, and like massive swings in that game were because of defense, just in like a totally different way. Like a lot of defensive scoring, a lot of big strip sacks, pick sixes. So kind of destroyed the narrative argument from that side of like trying to push against modern football. But it was also just nice to see that that was also part of it, not just like touchdown, 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 touchdown. For the offenses. So it was just thoroughly enjoyable. Like you said, perfect example of modern football and what it can be. Obviously, you don't want this every single week, but holy shit, this was just an absolute treat and could possibly be the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the only reason I don't want it every single week is because I don't want to like have my heart racing that fast every single week. Jeez, man. As one of my buddies said, he was literally just sitting on the couch with his girlfriend and her family drinking wine and watching this game. And he looked at like his Apple Watch when the game ended, and his heart rate was up to like 103 beats per minute. And like, he's an athlete. It's normally like 60 beats per minute. And like just from the football game, he was like that high up with that. So
I was by the end, I was pretty much, I think like the whole fourth quarter, just kind of standing up and pacing and then like sitting for a second, getting back up. It was like he couldn't just sit there.
Yeah, I was like doing push-ups and commercial breaks and like squats and shit, just because I was like, I gotta like do something with like, the energy that I have right now. So yeah, incredible game. We'll talk about some interesting performances from it a little bit later on in the podcast, but had to get that out of our systems before we moved any further. The first piece of news we're going to get into is that Jameis Winston is going to start this week after Fitz got benched during this past game. So to me, that does a couple things. It ups his tight ends, which I guess we'll say at the same time. OJ Howard got put on injured reserve today. I certainly didn't see that coming. I was super surprised when I saw that, but I think it ups Cameron Brate a lot. So now you've got Jameis back with Brate. I think Mike Evans has always had a good rapport with him, and DeSean Jackson and some other guys maybe haven't. But what does this do for you in the Bucs offense? And then are you at all interested in playing Jameis going forward?
I'm definitely interested. I usually always am. The Bucs offense just throws so much. They get a ton of yards every single game. They're just one of the high powered offenses. They're not a good team, but they have to throw. They throw often. So I have no problem starting Jameis. It's just the caveat is always, is he going to get pulled at halftime or any time during the game? That's the roll of the dice you always have with these guys. But the upside is literally always there every week. And they have a great matchup against the 49ers. So Jameis is right back in stream territory, as Fitz would be again if he was active. So, and then Cameron Brate, I bump up a ton. Mike Evans, I just expect more out of. And then DeSean, I take down a peg.
That's fair. I'm nervous on streaming those guys. I'm probably going to look for other options when I can. But, you know, if I'm down to it, like if it comes down to Jameis in a good matchup and like, you know, say like Baker Mayfield, Dak Prescott, and Eli Manning in like okay matchups, like I'm playing Jameis. Like you have to, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's a case by case basis. I'm a little skittish on that, but we'll see how it goes. Let's get into some injuries. On the 30th anniversary of Joe Theismann breaking the shit out of his leg, Alex Smith did the same exact thing in a Redskins uniform. Fractured his tibia and fibula, really gruesome injury. He is done. Colt McCoy is going to start going forward. We'll talk about the Redskins game this week later on, but what is your takeaways from this?
I'm really scared. Like, I think Colt McCoy is, you know, serviceable, but I just don't think like Alex Smith wasn't playing good as it was, and he's better than Colt McCoy. So I downgrade the entire offense. Their defense, which is number two on the season, the offense will probably put them in bad situations and probably won't be as good as they have been in recent weeks. So I kind of downgrade really the entire team.
Yeah, it does a ton for their playoff hopes. And it's not that Colt McCoy is bad. It's just that, like, he can't hit a wide receiver on the outside of the field. You know, like, right. He's a decent quarterback. And, you know, we'll see as the season goes on. Certainly not this week. And I haven't looked at the rest of their schedule. But it's possible you might hear us talk about Colt McCoy as a potential streamer in some weeks, just based on, you know, the matchup and also the fact that he can actually run a little bit. But this week is not the week in general. The offense, I think you're right. It takes a bump down. Marcus Mariota got a stinger. Unclear if he's going to miss any time. If he does, Blaine Gabbert would be the quarterback. Does this move the needle at all for you?
I think a lot of people are staying away from most Titans-based offensive players. So I don't know. It just kind of, again, drags the offense down, sort of like the Alex Smith situation. And they play on Monday night against the Texans, so none of that shit was appealing to begin with. So at least you don't have to like find another thing to do instead of really anybody on the Titans offense for Monday night.
Yeah. Can you believe we go from that Rams Chiefs game to Titans Texans on Monday night?
I might sleep through that one.
So. Yeah. I don't think I'll be making quite the effort to be in front of the TV for every play like I did this one.
Certainly not.
Kerryon Johnson had a knee injury. He is not expected to play Thanksgiving Day this week, and he could miss multiple weeks. So what does this do for you in terms of the Lions running backs going forward?
It really sucks because I liked how Kerryon Johnson was getting involved in the offense, and they're just giving him more carries, let him get in a rhythm. It's very unfortunate, bad timing, especially right around like the playoff push time for fantasy and all that. I really don't know who's going to be the lead. I would assume LeGarrette Blount probably gets more work now. And then Theo Riddick, I don't really like, you'd think he'd get more of a bump, but I feel like he's going to do the same shit he always does. Like get one rushing attempt a game, get 0 yards, and then like 6 to 8 targets.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. I don't really see, like, people have been talking about how like Riddick, you know, could help him. Like, I don't see how this helps him at all. Like, we know they don't think he can rush the ball. So like, why would this change anything about his usage? Like, Kerryon was getting some passing targets, but like, maybe you bump Theo Riddick from like 6 to 8 targets to like 7 to 9. Like, I think that's about it in terms of his value. In terms of the other running backs, LeGarrette Blount, you know, you would guess would be like the top guy, but he has been just like absolute ass cheeks this year. Just hasn't been able to be efficient even a little bit. And the Lions coaching staff has talked up how they like Zach Zenner. You know, that's probably just coach speak. And I've been down this road before where I've picked up Zach Zenner. I'm certainly not doing it this week, coming up against the Bears. But we'll see. We'll see how this week plays out, see how the usage breaks out. I'd be more excited if Zach Zenner is the guy who's taking sort of the groundwork than I would be if LeGarrette Blount becomes that guy.
Yeah, and it sucks saying Zach Zenner, but he's not a pickup this week, but he certainly, we could be talking about him next Tuesday.
Yeah.
Especially what goes down on Thanksgiving. So we shall see. Short week, so I don't know if they're going to switch right to him. I think they ride Blount on this game. Probably to no success. Like, it doesn't really matter for this one, but just to see the snap share will be interesting for those two specifically.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how the work breaks down. We'll get to this later on. I also think Matt Stafford's going to throw the ball like 50 fucking times this game against the Bears, but we'll see how it goes. Jimmy Graham, broken thumb. He's supposedly going to try and play through it week 12. They've been trying out different splints and, you know, taping his hand together and all these sorts of things. I'm nervous, but like, you can't sit Jimmy Graham, can you?
I think you can. Like, if I had somebody like Jared Cook, I'd play Jared Cook over Jimmy Graham.
Okay.
He didn't really get many targets to begin with. So now that he has a broken thumb, I'm not exactly thrilled that his opportunities are, one, limited as they are, and now he's limited physically with the broken thumb, and they really can't even figure out what he can do to like play through this, honestly. So it's very unappealing, obviously not droppable, which is the biggest pain in the ass in the world. I understand playing him, and I more understand not. Like, I feel like he can just go to someone, like pick up Cameron Brate this week and play him.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I guess one of the things would be like, if you've been carrying two tight ends, that sort of thing, and Jimmy Graham was one of them, you should be playing your other tight end, because even if usage the past 4 weeks, 4 targets, 6 targets, 1 target, and then 1 target again. So not must play usage. And that was higher at a certain point during this year from weeks 2 to 6 or so. He did have very, very good usage. I guess my thing would be like, if Jimmy Graham's going to play, I guess Brate would be the guy, but like, am I going to pick up like CJ Uzoma, or like, am I going to pick up like fucking, I'm trying to think of a guy.
Jeff
like
Herndon.
Yeah. Like Jeff Hyreman.
Oh,
like
Hyreman. I combined
Chris,
them.
Chris Herndon. Yeah. Like Nick Vinette, you know, like Jeff Swaim, like these types of guys. Like, am I going to pick up them to sit Jimmy Graham? No. Because Jimmy Graham all he needs is one snap within the 10-yard line, and like, he hits value, you know? So, it really depends on your situation there. You do make a good point, though. There are certain guys who you can absolutely bench him for. Brandon LaFell tore his Achilles. Weirdly enough, he was starting to be maybe fantasy relevant. He was the number one wide receiver on the Raiders at this point. We'll see if Jordy comes back. It's unclear if he will. To me, I think it makes Seth Roberts and Marcel Aitman like at least mildly interesting. Maybe not this week against the Ravens, but potentially going forward.
Yeah, I think possibly like a daily tip would be Seth Roberts, since the slot is heavily targeted against, you know, the Ravens. So that's a sneaky play. Obviously, the upside is a little lower because Raiders, and they literally have nobody. If Jordy doesn't come back, it's just these two. So really, that's all you can do for this week. I would definitely sit it out regular season-wise. You don't have to mess around here at all.
Yeah, that's fair. I guess keep an eye on that going forward. We talked about how O.J. Howard got put on injured reserve. And then the other one this week is Mitch Trubisky has not practiced yet. There's a chance he misses the game this Thursday. If he does, Chase Daniel would start, which would make this game kind of ugly. But yeah, what do you do if you've been riding Trubisky, I guess, how does this affect you? And then how do you think this affects the Bears, the rest of the Bears team?
They won't look as good. Like the way their offense is run is very like Mitch heavy and pro Mitch, like the way he plays, like he scrambles around like a psychopath and all that. And they run very specific, like those pitches they have, like where it's like the stretch, but it's just insane to watch them play. So obviously on a short week, this is crazy. If Mitch doesn't play, I hope he does. Because, you know, seeing Chase Daniels, I don't know, that's not going to really work out. I would probably downgrade all the pass catchers like immediately and then probably upgrade Howard and Cohen just because I feel like they would want to just pound the ball against, you know, the Lions who really give up a lot against the run. So I feel like they would probably run a lot more of a run-based offense, especially in, you know, short week, no Mitch. That's probably how it would go.
Yeah, I would guess we'd see a lot less of like the gadgetry that the Bears have sort of put into play this year and a lot less of the weird formations. So I'm right there with you. Let's get on to let's take a quick break. We'll hear from Auction Draft and then we'll be right back with some of the more interesting performances from Week 11.
Auction Draft is the ultimate fantasy football auction draft experience. With full season and 5-week seasons available, you get the best of both worlds. It's time to play fantasy football the way it was meant to be played. Visit auctiondraft.net to learn more and save 50% off the 2018 season price with promo code LTFF. We'll see you on the field.
All right, guys, welcome back. That was Auction Draft. Again, make sure you're checking them out within these last couple weeks that you're able to. Vinny, let's talk about some interesting performances and none bigger, I think, than Kenny Golladay. Talk to me about his week and what you think going forward.
So, yeah, this is pretty much what we were expecting, just a shitload of targets. Went 14 for 8, 113 yards, got the touchdown, which was crazy. Thank God they upheld that because there was a slim chance they would have overturned it with the one angle where it was like in between his legs, but completely made his day over the top. So this is what we were thinking would happen, and thank God it did. And it probably will continue to happen as long as Marvin Jones is inactive, which it's a little muddled right now. Like the Lions didn't practice Monday as it was. So we didn't really get clarification. Today's Tuesday for us, but I would assume Marvin Jones won't play. It doesn't seem like he's trending that way. And Kenny Golladay is once again going to see at least double-digit targets, has high touchdown equity, and should rip it up on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I mean, I said before, I thought Stafford's going to throw the ball 50 times. Like, Golladay might get 20 targets in this game. I don't think that's, like, out of the question. I will cop to it. He was one of two in daily that, like, I really, really considered and just ended up with none of them because, like, I found reasons to get off of them. It was him and Hilton, and that just fucked me pretty hard. But Golladay for me, I was like, oh, James Bradbury, big physical corner, like, chance he'll shut him down even with those targets. No, Kenny Galladay's good. With those Lions, it's worth noting that the other targets went, 9 of them went to Bruce Ellington and Theo Riddick had 7. So keep those guys in mind. We'll get more into this game coming up this week later. Let's talk about the wide receivers that played against the Lions. There was DJ Moore and Devin Funches. Both of them got 8 targets. DJ Moore with those 8 targets, 7 catches, 157 yards, and 1 touchdown. It's worth noting that 82 of those 157 yards came on one play. And then Devin Funches, 8 targets again. 2 catches, 39 yards. Not great. Not what you're looking for. So what do you think about these guys going forward? Because it's very clear it's clear for the first time this year that DJ Moore is their number two wide receiver. He's on the field for all the same snaps as Devin Funches. What do you think the outlook looks like for both of them?
So Funches, I like never really was a fan of, and it's just, he never seems to do what you want. Like, you think he's going to get a lot of targets this game, and then he doesn't. And then he catches, you know, in a game like this where he goes 2 for 39, even with targets, it just seems like he has a very low ceiling and a very low floor. So I really never like him as a play. And then you see the guys that they try to involve, like DJ Moore, even Curtis Samuel, they want to get these guys the ball more than Funches. Like, they don't even throw to the goal line, like anything in the red zone to Funches, even in the last couple of weeks. So I'm just really leaning towards more of the fast gadget guys that they've been trying to involve in this offense for probably really the last two seasons around Cam. And DJ Moore is definitely the more talented guy. Curtis Samuel kind of eats into their value in a weird way, but DJ Moore is definitely the preferred guy I want to play in this offense.
Yeah, I'd much rather have more than Funches at this point. I think he's more talented. Funches has been a guy that has gotten fantasy production and has this rep as like the Panthers' number one wide receiver for that reason. But he's gotten fantasy production when Greg Olsen has been hurt, so that makes him more of a red zone target. And when they've really had no one else to throw to on the outside, so he's just forced targets, basically. When Funches has had any sort of competition for targets within this offense, he's never really been an every week fantasy option. And I don't want to go as far to say like, you don't like, I wouldn't mind dropping him. I don't think you need to own him. Am I like,
if, I'll put it this way. If there's a guy like Tre'Quan Smith or Josh Reynolds, who's like
cutie.
Yeah, really any of those guys, two of those guys are on bye, Reynolds and, Tre'Quan? Oh, no.
Who did I just say? Tre'Quan's playing.
Yeah, just Reynolds is on the bye. But if he's available, you know, grab those guys. Probably, like, they're droppable for Funches.
Yeah.
Or Funches is droppable for those guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's just, like, not that good for and, like...
He's really not.
Yeah. Let's move to another disappointing performance, and that was Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Only three targets despite being in on 98% of the snaps. What's your take on this week?
So I thought this was pretty comparable. Like, it sucks, but I thought it was pretty comparable to Tre'Quan Smith playing against the Bengals. Like, he's out there for pretty much identical snap share all the time, constantly out there in a high-powered offense. But, like, he just – it wasn't his game. So I feel like you should hang in there with MVS and just – you know, if you were continuing to roll him out in the flex, I feel like he's still an okay flex play in an Aaron Rodgers offense, and he's still out there all the time, can totally get a touchdown, can rip a big play. So I really have no problem if you're still rolling him out there in the flex or wide receiver three.
Yeah, one of the things we probably should have talked about more in our preview is that the Seahawks have been good against the slot. At that time, we weren't sure MVS was going to be in the slot because if Randall Cobb had played, he would have kicked outside. But... like, I didn't think that matchup would matter, really. I didn't think it was going to be that huge of a deal. I guess it, you know, hindsight's 20/20 on that kind of thing. But yeah, if you're on the field for 98% of the snaps running routes with Aaron Rodgers, you will be okay in the long term.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, keep rolling with it. Gus Edwards, and I guess let's talk about Lamar. Let's talk about Jackson first. So this Baltimore team comes out, first drive, zero passing attempts, all rushing attempts, a lot of them Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson finishes 13 for 19 for 150 yards passing, fine. 27 carries, 117 yards rushing, which I've been, you know, told through through Twitter, is the most rushing attempts for a quarterback since like the merger, like the AFL-NFL merger in a game. What the fuck do you make of this?
The Bengals couldn't adjust like on the fly. Like, dude, put a spy on. I was very angry that game. But
it's because their linebackers are fucking slow as like balls. But
yeah, man. Like, even if they had a spy, it didn't matter. But really, it was embarrassing, one. Two, Jackson is, like, when he runs the read option, he's not really reading it. He's just like, I'm going to fucking run with this. And more often than not, it resulted in a positive game. And luckily for them, if he starts this week, they go against the Raiders. So that's another great matchup. It's pretty much like an identical matchup to the one they just played against the Bengals, which was very advantageous. He's probably going to take advantage of them again. He's definitely like, we've always really liked the quarterbacks that are not particularly great at passing, but rack up rushing yards like crazy because it gives them an immediate floor and a very high upside because they can run it in, they can pass it if they want, and it's just deceptive to defenses. So he could come out against the Raiders and pretty much do the exact same thing and still have that really high ceiling.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, we'll see if Flacco's healthy. We'll see if Harbaugh puts Flacco back in. You know, there's a lot of we'll sees in this, but if he's going to play against the Raiders, he should be starting for a fantasy team in just about every league. The rushing equity is so good. I mean, we used to play Tim Tebow. You know, Tyrod Taylor is a guy we've talked about this forever with. And Lamar Jackson has better rushing equity than any of those guys. So, it's right there. Let's talk about the guy who is running right alongside him, Gus Edwards, undrafted rookie out of Rutgers University in beautiful New Jersey. 62% snaps, 17 carries, 115 yards and a touchdown. You and I sat on this podcast last week and said, you got to play Alex Collins this week. Thank God Collins fell into the end zone early in this game because he pretty much didn't play after that.
If he didn't get that touchdown, he would have finished the day with like maybe 2 points, and that would probably be lucky. It was probably like 1 point something. But dude, I could not believe like what I was seeing. Alex Collins got one snap and one rush for no yards in the second half. I was amazed. I mean, Gus Edwards really ran a lot better than Collins, but I just didn't think this guy was even, one, on the team, two, going to be heavily involved like this on the fucking offense. I was just blown away because I was like, it's Alex Collins' day. I was sad that it was against the Bengals, but it was supposed to be his day, and then just Gus Edwards comes in and fucking stiff-arms Collins and just goes out and just incredibly throws up this stat line.
Yeah, it was really weird. He played great too, is the thing. And like, you know, like Collins, I think 6 carries, 17 yards in the touchdown. Like Edwards got over 100 yards on just 17 carries. That's really, really good. They just traded for Montgomery. Like they played Montgomery and Allen like hardly at all. Like what are we, I don't know. I don't understand their rotation. And I guess the point of this is that makes me skeptical going forward. Like, do you buy Edwards as a guy who can help you win fantasy games for the rest of the year?
So like around this time, now it's probably early in the season, but Alex Collins sort of did the same thing in the Ravens offense, kind of came out of nowhere, set the pace, did a lot better than any other back throughout the season. I just cannot, like, I don't know if this was a result of like Lamar Jackson and maybe just a weird coaching thing where they're like, let's get Gus Edwards in there for some reason and just let these two go at it all game because he's more durable or he's fresh or something like that. So I really don't know going forward how trustworthy you can be with Gus Edwards. I do know he's worth a waiver pickup though because they have a great rushing schedule coming up anyway, regardless. I just don't understand or I'm able to forecast how it's going to shake out without like at least another week or two to see what the hell this offense really is. And we do not have time for that. So it's a risky pickup, but it's also one that could be a league winning pickup. You just have to have, again, bigger balls than me, which I can't do it.
I'll say this. If I'm able to pick up Gus Edwards this week, I am starting him over Deion Lewis, who you may have been starting the past couple weeks. I think that's like the cutoff for me.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of another guy because I don't know if many people are leaning on Deion Lewis necessarily. But
I'm the only asshole leaning on Deion Lewis over here.
You might be, man. Okay. It's definitely a good like line in the sand to draw, but
I'm trying to think of
like Lamar Miller, who has awful matchups, like till the end of the season, or Gus Edwards.
against the Raiders, probably Edwards, right?
I think so. But
what about again, what about Adrian Peterson?
I'd probably go Edwards there, actually.
Okay, I might go Peterson there, but that's kind of, I guess that's kind of where we are, if that makes sense.
That sort of tier, that's where the questions start.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, like, we're not going to sit here and say, like, yeah, put Gus Edwards in over Lamar Miller and, like, you'll be great. Like, we're saying, like, hey, like, it should work out, but, like, definitely might not.
And you know what sucks? This makes Collins unplayable.
Oh, and 100%.
And it could easily be like Gus Edwards. They see reverse snap share this week. And it would be horrible for, like, all parties involved because Collins owners probably won't play him. Gus Edwards, new owners will play him and be disappointed. It's just a very clusterfuck of a situation.
Yeah, completely. So let's move on from that. Let's talk about Josh Reynolds. We've mentioned him a couple times in that insane Monday night game. Me and you can take a little victory lap on this fucking one, dude. Eight targets, six catches, 80 yards, and a touchdown. We were right.
Sweet.
That being said,
in a game where they scored 100 points total.
Well, that's why we wanted to play him, because we were correct. Like, yeah, this game's gonna like be a fucking shootout. Like, you can play the third wide receiver, the rookie wide receiver on the Rams, who's gonna be on the field for at least 80% of the snaps.
Hell yeah. And he was inches away from having two touchdowns.
Yeah, very true. The question, I suppose, becomes, what do you think of his outlook going forward? Because I'm not as bullish on that.
Yeah, so going forward, it's kind of like all you really have to fall back on is great offense. Cooper Kupp targets have to go somewhere, but that somewhere could be the tight ends one week. It could be just a huge game for Cooks or Gurley. It's worth noting that like Reynolds was still third in targets, like pretty comparable to the tight ends share there. Way behind Cooks, way behind Woods. And like Gurley, the important thing to note is like Gurley wasn't healthy. Like he was banged up a little bit and wasn't nearly as involved as he would be in normal games. So there is like a limit to what Josh Reynolds is like expected to do on the field. And he's not a desperation flex play. He's like a very good, I don't have anybody, so I'll throw in Reynolds play. Like, it's not the best, it's not the worst, and the upside is definitely there because he's one of the best offenses in the league. But you don't necessarily want to be leaning on him for massive games week in, week out.
Yes, absolutely. You hit the nail on the head there. I mean, Goff threw the ball 49 times. So Reynolds' eight targets are great. It's still way less than a 20% target share. You mentioned, I think Woods had 14 targets. Cooks had 12. Mm-hmm. This is a game where Tyler Higbee had seven targets. Exactly. Gerald Everett had four targets. You know, like everyone got the ball. And part of that, again, was Gurley had a bit of an ankle issue. They didn't lean on him. Like, there have been games where Jared Goff has thrown the ball 20 times this year. In a game where Jared Goff throws the ball 20 times, you don't fucking want to be playing Josh Reynolds.
Yeah.
So it's very matchup dependent. It's very dependent on how much of a shootout we think the game is going to be. Other than that, like, you're kind of just hoping he gets lucky and he gets a touchdown.
Yeah, basically.
Let's talk about Sammy Watkins also in there. Hopefully you weren't relying on him and didn't play him. He was active only in on 7% of snaps. Chris Conley would have kind of worked out as a play, but hopefully Watkins kind of comes back. The surprise active, like, again, hopefully you weren't like sitting there like with Conley on your bench, like, oh, like, oh, well, Watkins is active, I'm putting him in, you know, because that didn't work out.
Which, like, baby victory lap on that. We said Connolly is totally playable. It's just Watkins was active and dragged his corpse out there for, like, a couple snaps and then peaced.
Yeah, pretty much.
Dude, the dude was hurt as fuck. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, just leave him on the bench. Just use Conley and Robinson there.
Yeah, whatever. And it would have been fine. It was very odd. It makes me very scared to play Sammy Watkins, like, going forward. And, like, I could totally see people waiting to see if he was active for this game. And if he was active, you were rolling him out and he did nothing.
Yeah. I wonder if there were people who like picked up Reynolds and were like active, or like, if like Watkins is active, I'm playing Watkins. If not, I'm playing Reynolds. And then like that bullshit happened. But I don't know. Hopefully you weren't one of those people. If you were, let us know and we'll, send you, yeah, we'll commiserate with you, I guess. I don't know. Let's talk about some Texans wide receivers. A great topic. Demaryius Thomas and Kiki Cutie. This was Cutie's game back. It was after a bye. Thomas in on 73% of the snaps. Kiki, yeah, wow. Cutie in on 67% of the snaps. With that, dear listener, let that marinate in your head for a moment. And then, Vinny, tell me about the actual stats that matter for these two guys.
That Thomas was out there for more snaps.
But how many targets did he get?
that's actually wrong. He didn't have zero. He had one.
Oh, he had one target. Okay.
He did, yeah, because I watched the sail over his head. As I was watching that closely because I was like, this must be a glitch because I was playing Don, who was playing DT, and he just had zero for like ever. And I was like, this can't be right. And he failed to catch his like lone target, which was, I don't understand. Like, he should have had Cutie's game. Like, he really should have. Like, he comes back from being hurt off. Like, it just didn't seem right to me. I feel like DT is still someone you can still plug and play. This could switch, like we've been talking about, for many players. This dude can have a zero, but it could easily go back the other way.
I think what this says is that the Texans thought they were getting something that they didn't get in Demaryius Thomas. I think this is them saying, like, we don't need to involve this guy, and we think Kiki Cutie is better than him. So I'm on Kiki Cutie. I'm not playing Demaryius Thomas until he shows it with the Texans.
I don't know if it's like, I think Thomas is so much more of a talented wide receiver than Cutie. And like, he hasn't been there for long. I don't know. Cause we've seen like teams have trouble integrating. Like Demaryius Thomas goes to the Texans, has a rough time. Golden Tate goes to the Eagles, clearly a rough time integrating him. So I feel like with time, it'll get better. That time might be next year, but for now, I don't know. I cannot say that I'd rather play Cutie over fucking Thomas at this point.
Okay.
Really, it's just, you kind of want to stay away, I think, but I don't know. Him being out there for more, I feel like he's more talented. I just, that's all I got.
I'm on Cutie. I'll play Cutie over Thomas. I'll do it for the rest of the year. Let's move on to the Raiders backfield. Again, a very exciting topic. Doug Martin either had an ankle injury or got benched. We're not really sure. There have been quotes both ways. Who the fuck really knows? The point is, he didn't play in the second half, and you saw DeAndre Washington get some carries and Jalen Richard take over some of those carries too. So what do you make of this? Are there any of these three running backs that you're actually looking to play going forward?
I'll continue to roll out Richard. I feel like he's got the safest floor, obviously, because he's involved in the passing game and the rushing game. So Gruden loves him too. Like, he'll praise him after every game. But
he called him Charlie Garner this past week.
Yeah, after he called him the MVP of the team, nonetheless, which is pretty wild. Like, I don't know. I don't get it. But yeah, Richard is still like an every week play, and it's totally fine. He's really like an RB2 play. Which is crazy, but I don't want to touch Doug Martin. I don't want to touch DeAndre Washington. I will stay away from that because they get really just rushing work. And, you know, if Richard is going to be more involved, it takes away from both of those two guys' upsides.
Yeah, it makes me like Richard even more. You know, if he's going to get 10 carries to go along with his 6 to 7 targets a game, all the better. I've been playing Richard in one league every single week, basically. I'm going to keep doing it. In Tampa Bay, we saw Mike Evans, after a couple really down weeks, come back with 7 targets, 6 catches, 120 yards, and a touchdown. Are you buying into this with Jameis back? Is this because Jameis is like came back? Or are you kind of just realizing that Mike Evans is a roller coaster of a player?
He's a little bit of a roller coaster, but then again, so is the fucking team, and it's really not his fault. I still think Mike Evans is like an elite wide receiver, and how is he supposed to keep up with these fucking guys? They get switched every game, so I feel like that's a result of that, and just Mike Evans is fine. Obviously, you're not sitting him. It's fine. Great matchup against the 49ers. Jameis hopefully plays a full game. All will be well.
Yeah, definitely. Talk to me about Ben Roethlisberger, who had a quite, again, we talked about the term roller coaster. He had a roller coaster of a game here.
Yeah, that's stating it mildly. I felt really bad. We were giving advice before kickoffs, and one question like burned into my brain. It was like Lamar Jackson
or Big Ben.
And we were like, oof, that is fucking tough. And like, ultimately it would have worked out like just fine either way. But the Big Ben one definitely gave you a scare. And that's where we were telling people to go just because we said he had a floor, and the dude has negative points going into the third quarter. Winds up finishing with 20 fucking points. So Big Ben is a magician and definitely made you not hate him like as much as you could have been hating him if he fucking, you know, destroyed your week. So wound up probably saving your ass.
Yeah, I was playing against the guy in a league, and like, I'm way out of it anyway. I have two wins. I ended up losing this week, but like, he had Big Ben and Juju in his lineup. And like, after the first half, I was like, fuck, I'm going to win this week. Like, this is sweet. And then like, I look back at the end of the fourth quarter, like, oh, Ben got 20 points and Juju got 100 yards receiving. Like, cool. I am no longer going to win. But it doesn't matter in the long run in that league. But yeah, it's an interesting call. I mean, like that's a Jameis game to me. That's what I always think of as like a Jameis game, where, you know, just like you close your eyes and like until the fourth quarter, because you don't want to see that he threw two picks and only has 95 yards in the first half, but he'll still give you 18 fantasy points. That's kind of what Ben did this week. So I guess keep it in mind going forward.
Yeah. No one pads the stats like Big Ben, Jameis Winston, and Kirk Cousins when they're like having a bad game, like throughout the majority of the game, like three quarters of the game, and then we'll end with like a doable fantasy day.
Oh, 100%. All right. Talk to me about Philip Lindsay moving forward.
Dude, he's the real deal. I fucking love him. He was, he could be a league winner. I know our very own dear Matt Rogers traded for him recently. A bit of a risk with Freeman coming back, but holy shit, the dude is their lead offensive weapon, and they have a fantastic rushing schedule coming up. Lindsay's involved in the passing game as well. I feel like this dude is, like I said, he's going to win some leagues for some people.
Yeah, he's not like Kamara from last year level, but like he's not
baby,
too. He's
baby Kamara.
Yeah, it's like that kind of thing where like he can really help you out. And if you've got him as your RB2 or your flex or that kind of thing, week in, week out, he's going to be great for you. And he showed it this week again with Freeman back. He can still get it done. So yeah, pretty solid in terms of that. Another running back who's kind of breaking into his own a little bit is Josh Adams with the Eagles. Me and you have talked about how the Eagles running backs, you want to stay the fuck away pretty much for the past several weeks. But Josh Adams, 55% of the snaps, 7 carries for 53 yards and a touchdown. And for the first time this week, got involved in the pass game, 6 targets, 3 catches, 19 yards. He should be very high on the waiver wire this week.
Yeah, I think so. And I feel like he can play him against the Giants. I think he did enough against the Saints, who have a pretty stout defense rushing-wise, and he was able to break a big one on them. So I feel like as long as the work is there, I know it's easy to say and easy to think is going to happen, especially with some other mouths to feed, but you got to realize Eagles' best chance to win is probably with this guy. He's really shown he's their best back.
Yeah, and the thing that solidifies that for me is that he's kind of known as like an early down bruiser, and they got fucked up this past game, and he still played 55% of the snaps. So if they're giving him that snap share when they are getting absolutely destroyed, they're getting him involved in the pass game. I'm comfortable enough in his rushing ability on early downs that if I know I can get at least a little bit of the rest of it, I'm fine with playing him. One thing that I'm not comfortable with, or I guess, I don't know, we'll see, because again, the Giants are a good matchup. But Carson Wentz, man, less than a point, less than a fantasy point this week against the Saints, who have been bad.
Yeah,
against opposing quarterbacks.
I could not believe it. I don't know what the, like, it's you have to try to have less than a point, like, for a fantasy quarterback. It's fucking crazy, especially against the Saints, like you said. It was very unfortunate, but again, like, this is one of those things where you got to like kind of swallow your pride and just like keep rolling Wentz out, because they do play the Giants. He'll play much better. He'll have more than 0.84. So you roll out Wentz, suck it up. He's still good. The offense can still be amazing. They just got punched in the fucking face against the Saints.
Yeah, this is definitely one you chalk it up to, you know, they're just kind of sweep it under the rug and move forward, I think. Colts running backs, kind of a weird week. Jordan Wilkins got a touchdown. What the fuck? Talk to me about the running back split for Indianapolis.
So I was really surprised. I didn't think they would still utilize all these guys going forward. Kind of thought Mac would have more of a lead role. Definitely a fantasy darling of a lot of people this year. Are you concerned at all with like Mac's usage, or just it's such a high powered offense that like you kind of don't give a shit?
I'm kind of in no matter what, because the offense has been really good. But yeah, it's concerning. Like, it, you want to see them being out on the field for every opportunity. Like, Wilkins' touchdown was like an 18 yarder. You know, it's not like he got like put in inside the 5 yard line because they want him to pound the ball in. It's kind of more of a random one. But yeah, I'm a little concerned because Mac hasn't put up great numbers for the past, what, 3 weeks? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if this is a trend or if this is like getting away from the norm, but in what should have been a good matchup for it, he didn't really do it.
Yeah, and Nyheim Hines still taking passing work, still getting a lot of snaps himself. So there are mouths to feed, and it's a little bit confusing. It's just maybe you don't need to depend on Mac, and maybe he's a trade candidate before with, you know, the trade deadline being soon, pretty much this week for a lot of leagues. Definitely the last week in general for most. So keep an eye out, see if you get any offers for that. Could be an attractive offer to some people, and maybe can improve your team in like a more solid way than kind of risking it on a committee back.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's solid advice. Let's get into the Thanksgiving games, Vinny, and then we'll wrap it up for tonight. The first game is going to be Chicago at Detroit. Chicago is a 4-point favorite. This over-under is 45. We could see both of these numbers change significantly if Chase Daniel is going to be the starter there. So keep an eye out on that. We'll start on the Chicago side of the ball. We went through the quarterback situation, so let's talk a little bit about their pass catchers. I don't know how to predict which one of these guys is going to have a good week because it seems to change every single week. Do you have any idea how to predict this shit?
No, not at all. I really don't. It really depends. I think Anthony Miller has probably the highest touchdown upside out of these guys, which is a little surprising with Allen Robinson on the team. But he's been able to do it, I think, 3 weeks in a row, if I'm wrong. But yeah,
that sounds right to me.
Yeah. Gabriel is definitely getting the majority of the targets. And then like Robinson seems to fluctuate between the two. Like, he gets solid targets. He has solid touchdown upside, but if, he's going to draw the best coverage. And we definitely saw that last week with Rhodes on him, and definitely limited him, made some big catches, but they weren't really helping you in a fantasy aspect. Like we thought he'd move him around, but Rhodes followed him everywhere. So, he's probably going to draw Darius Slay as long as he's healthy, which
he played this past week. So
exactly. So you'd think he'll be on him this week, probably shadow, but I think Rhodes is much better than Slay. So Slay is more beatable. As long as Mitch is healthy, I feel like you can get away with playing any of them, but each in the aspect that we just talked about, like gauge your matchup like that, gauge the players you have like that. And they're all flex worthy, and it just depends on what you need for this week.
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating because it's really hard to predict, and there's some of those guys where, you know, you play them 1 week, they don't do great, you don't the next week, and they do great. So it's really difficult to figure it out. I don't have it figured out for at all, really. I would say my favorite guy this week is probably Gabriel. Just based on the volume and the matchups, we know Slay will likely be on Robinson. They just started playing, I think the guy's name is Michael Ford, on the other outside cornerback spot, and he is god awful. They kicked Nevin Lawson inside. He is also god awful. So I would say Miller and Gabriel I like better than Robinson this week, but who knows if Robinson catches a touchdown, like that's it.
Exactly.
Might as well talk about Trey Burton in this. He hasn't gotten more than 4 targets since week 7. He got 1 target this past week, and he's only gotten he's only exceeded 4 targets in 3 games this season. So I know his touchdown equity has been pretty good, but are we sure Trey Burton is a guy we need to be starting?
Yeah, I don't know. We were a little foolish last week. We were on him, and really, he didn't do much. I would say if I could, I'd pick up Brate, and I would play him over Burton, specifically because short week, banged up Mitch, regardless if he starts or not. So the quarterback situation is muddled. Obviously, you'll know earliest possible on Thursday since they play. But I think regardless of Mitch's health, I'm going to go like a guy like Brate over Burton. And I think another guy I would say is probably like Jared Cook, like somewhere in that realm I would start over him.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. I think those are both better starts than Trey Burton is this week. In the backfield, we've seen them really sort of adjust game plan based on team. This past week, neither of them were really great fantasy starts based on their final production. You know, we know Detroit's been gashed by other opposing running backs. So does that make it a Jordan Howard week, a Tariq Cohen week, neither or both?
This one is, I don't know which is harder, predicting the wide receivers or this. But if I had to guess, I would say it's a Howard week.
That would be my guess as well. Yeah, it's difficult though, because now Tariq Cohen could come out and get a 34-yard touchdown on the second play of the game. You know?
Yeah, exactly. I would say they're both – they're both running back twos with running back one upside. So I feel like they're sort of plug and plays, and then you either hate yourself or you feel like pretty good about it, which sucks. But their offense is so tricky that you're kind of along for the ride at this point, and the matchup is there. Lions are just really bad against running backs. So I feel like you'll be fine either way. I feel like they both have relevant fantasy days regardless.
Yeah, that's probably fair. I think I'm with you on that. Let's move to the Lions side of the ball. They're facing this really tough defense, but we've sort of, you know, talked about this side throughout the rest of the podcast as well. I've mentioned, I think Stafford's going to have to throw the ball a bunch because Chicago is very, very good against the run. Detroit's also been giving up a shitload of sacks though, and they're about to face Khalil Mack. So I think you can start Stafford and Galladay, and unless you're desperate, maybe Bruce Ellington, but that's about it for me.
Yeah, I don't know if I would be on board with the Stafford start. I would be a little scared, but
I'm scared, but pure volume. That's
yeah, I was going to say, Kirk got it done on a decent day after getting completely ravaged all game. So I think he capped off at like 16, 17 points. So you could be looking at a game like that for Stafford with, you know, an upside of like another touchdown or two. So I'm kind of getting where you're coming from. I feel like there are safer plays and maybe some riskier plays like Jameis with a better ceiling. But I understand where you're coming from there for sure. And then Galladay, every single goddamn week. It doesn't feel like Marvin Jones is going to play, so he should light it up this one.
Yeah, all in on Galladay for sure, even though the Bears aren't a great matchup. I would say let's pick this one, but like we don't know who's going to start at quarterback, and like that makes a difference. I don't know. I think either way I'm taking Chicago, but it's tough.
Yeah, I'd probably still take the Bears. The defense is just too much.
Yeah. All right, cool. Let's move to Washington at Dallas. Dallas is a 7.5-point favorite here. The over-under is 40.5. Very low over-under. Not a lot of scoring expected in this game. On the Washington side, as we said before, Colt McCoy will be the starter. To me, that does a couple things in the passing game. It lowers the upside and it makes the inside receivers potentially a little bit more attractive. I mean, we know Alex Smith likes the inside receivers as well, but there's two guys in this pass game I'm interested in. I think Jordan Reed is a must play due to his target share. And I think Trey Quinn, the rookie out of SMU who played across from Cortland Sutton in college. I think he played in the slot this past week, and I think you can play him this week.
Wow, goddamn. I don't know if I'm on with Trey Quinn. I feel like that's super risky. And isn't Maurice Harris still floating around?
They kicked him outside for Quinn to play in the slot.
Why would they do that?
I guess they must like Trey Quinn.
I guess so, yeah.
But yeah, they I mean, the configuration this past week was mostly Harris and Doxson on the outside, and then Quinn in the slot. And target-wise, Reed had the most, Doxson had the next most, and then I think you had Quinn and Harris both with four targets.
Very typical of Jordan Reed, right, as we like really shit talk him after like multiple weeks, like kind of saying he's a borderline starter, and then we talk a lot of shit, and he kind of goes off. I think he put up 20.
Yeah.
So very typical shit.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Forgive me. I was looking up. I think I saw something that Chris Thompson and Crowder might be returning this week, or they have a chance.
For Thanksgiving? I did not. I was not aware of that, if that's the case.
I can't fucking remember if that's what it said or that they are not playing. So this is just terrible. But yeah, obviously, a lot of the shit we said would change if those two are healthy and active.
Yeah, I mean, if that is the case, I feel like you don't change too much, like in terms of who to play, other than don't play fucking Trey Quinn. But I don't really like. I don't know if I'm going to trust anyone else. I don't know if I'm going to trust Chris Thompson the first week back on Thanksgiving against the Cowboys.
Nah, definitely not.
So it kind of just narrows the player pool, if anything. There, we mentioned Adrian Peterson as a guy, you know, on the border in terms of people you would sit for Gus Edwards. Do you think he's still a play here?
I don't really. No, I feel like he had a bad matchup against the Texans and got it done, but that was largely in part to two touchdowns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he only had 51 yards on the ground and no work in the passing game. I mean, but that's what Adrian Peterson is. He's a touchdown-dependent RB2. To me, I'm not sitting him unless I have a better option, unless I have, I don't know, someone in a good matchup. Fuck it, Gus Edwards, unless I have Gus Edwards.
That's what I was saying before. Yeah. I'd probably lean that way. I don't know. Dallas's D has really turned it on. Don't like it on a short week, especially with like Colt McCoy having to step in with like fucking 3 days of practice.
Yeah, and in a game where Dallas is a 7.5-point favorite with a 40.5-point over-under, that's an implied point total of about 16 points for the Redskins. So if we say, you know, what we're expecting is two touchdowns out of the Redskins, what are the chances that one of them goes to Adrian Peterson? Is it 40%? Is it 50%? Like, where do you rank his chances of getting a touchdown? And then how do you let that affect you? I guess that's kind of how to look at it.
Yeah, fair. And I feel like Reed is probably the one that's going to score, and then possibly some random person like Doxson or anyone like that. It's going to be tough for Peterson to score, honestly.
Yeah, I don't think there's a ton of touchdown equity for the Redskins in this game. So
yeah.
Let's move to the Cowboys side of the ball. Obviously, Zeke is a play in any matchup. The rest of the team was kind of a disappointment in a week that you and I both kind of talked him up. Dak as a good start. We had Amari as a good start. We talked about Cole Beasley as a good start, which Beasley led the team in targets and dropped a touchdown, a wide open touchdown off his hands. Dude, we were so close to being right on that.
I've never seen Beasley drop something like that.
Honestly. I know.
It was horrible, dude. Yeah. We could have caught that, but it was, it was shitty. He would have had a great fucking day if he caught that.
Yeah. So what do you think about them this week? Are you willing to go back to the well with Dak or Cooper?
Cooper, I will continue to play. Dak, I will not go for the matchup. Zeke, of course, should tear it up, although skins have been tough. I just feel like the defense will be on the field for a large majority of the game, so they'll get beat up, tired. Zeke will get it done. I'll go back to Cooper real quick. I mean, it's a tough matchup for him, but I feel like he's been playing so well that he's probably a wide receiver 2 or 3 for you at this point. So I would continue to roll him out just for like touchdown upside and whatnot. Beasley, I'm off, and then any tight end, I'm off too for the Cowboys.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the play I'm most excited about in this game of anyone, and this goes for all position players and anything, is Cowboys defense. So that's about it. That shows where we're at in this one.
Yeah, they are a very good pickup this week.
Yeah, definitely. And I will take the Cowboys here.
Yes, me too.
All right. The Thanksgiving night game, Atlanta at New Orleans. New Orleans is a 13-point favorite. So huge spread, but the over-under is 59.5. So we think there's enough offense to sort of go around here. Is this a play 'em all game, or are there some players that you're not as much on? And we'll start on the Atlanta side.
Yeah, I feel like I would pick and choose kind of on the Atlanta side. I feel like Matt Ryan is a must play. Julio Jones, obviously. I feel like Austin Hooper is even a must play. Ridley, I feel like you could probably flex him due to a big play upside. Sanu, I'm kind of off. I know he can work the slot, but I just haven't seen enough out of him, and I feel like his ceiling has gone down in the last couple of weeks. Tevin Coleman's a dude I'm going to continue to roll out, even though it's a little tough of a matchup. He still gets, regardless of his matchup, like his 10 points, and then, you know, always has a ceiling of more, so I feel like he can roll him out. And more involved in the passing game than Ito Smith, and you got to think they're going to be down this game throwing, so
there's
always that. I feel like that's how I'm gauging the Falcons there. Really, not too many people. I would sit Ito Smith, probably Sanu, but you could probably get away with the Sanu play more than Ito Smith play.
Okay. That's fair. I'm going to disagree with you on a couple points, but I generally do. I mean, obviously Ryan and Julio for sure. You know, Ridley's questionable and on a short week, and I know he's been playing through this injury that he has. For me, I'm like really on Sanu this week. I think Sanu, this is a chance for Sanu to like blow up, which, you know, could be more of a hunch than anything. It could be, I feel like wide receiver is where you attack the Saints, and particularly secondary wide receiver. So whoever Marshawn Lattimore is not covering. And with Ridley having this injury, to me, it's just Sanu is going to be the primary secondary. Wow. I just said primary secondary. What a fucking moron. Sanu is going to be the main guy facing these secondary cornerbacks for the Saints. So I'm like extremely in on Sanu. I think he's a guy where if you have some other questionable wide receiver matchups or whatever the case may be, I think he's a guy you can take off your bench, plug into your lineup with confidence. Hooper, I'm kind of off because tight ends have quietly gotten shut down by the Saints for a lot of the season. We just saw Zach Ertz get shut down. Zach Ertz doesn't get shut down. And in a game where the game script was like great for him, he didn't do dick. So I'm not really on Hooper this week. I think you're right that Coleman has a high enough floor that you have to keep playing him.
Yeah, I will say with the Hooper Ertz comparison, I feel like Ertz is, you know, arguably the fucking Eagles' number one wide receiver. So I feel like they focused more energy on stopping him,
okay,
than anybody on the field that game, to be honest. So, and then Hooper still sort of maintained like a decent target share, especially for tight ends. So I feel like in a game with the massive over-under of like pretty much 60 points, it's not out of the realm that he catches a touchdown. It's not out of the realm that he gets 8 targets. So I'm going to roll him out.
Okay, that's fair. We skipped over Traquan Smith when we went through interesting performances, didn't we?
How the fuck did we do that? We had him listed.
We had him listed, and like he's also like an injury. Like I was about to like start talking about the Saints and was just like, wait, we haven't talked about Traquan Smith at all in this podcast. I even had him in the outline. I just completely missed him.
We skipped over him twice.
I'm a huge moron. Anyway, let's move to the Saints side of the ball. I feel like this is easy. It's play Breeze, it's play Kamara, play Ingram, play Thomas, and then Traquan Smith is the one where you kind of have to pause because we'll talk about his performance from this past week. 14 targets, 10 catches, 157 yards, and a touchdown. I was on him in DFS. Woo! Worked out pretty well for me this week. The issue is that he has not practiced yet this week with a foot injury. And again, this is Tuesday night, so 2 days he has not practiced. We'll see if he's actually going to play. Where are you on Traquan Smith, and do you have anything differing on the guys that I talked about?
I definitely have nothing differing at all. But
okay, sweet.
Traquan Smith, dude, if he is active, I am playing him, and I will deal with the consequences if he has a bad game, and I will reap the rewards if he has a good game, because that's really all you can do with him at this point. I mean, like, I hope he logs a practice for Wednesday, but we shall see. That would definitely be a good indication of what the hell is going to go on. But at least you have some time with a lot of the games going on Sunday. Kind of shitty if you have guys going in the earlier games on Thursday and possibly could switch him out for someone there. But I would be willing to wait. And then if he's not active, I would just deal with it on Sunday or you know, look for someone to stream for Sunday in his spot.
Yeah, that's, I think that's the right move. If he doesn't go, do you have any interest in like an Austin Carr or a Keith Kirkwood, the guys who would like likely fill in for him on the outside?
Fucking no. And then like, who knows what's happened with Brandon Marshall? Maybe he'll be active. So I'm totally staying away from that whole situation.
Okay, cool. I think that'll do it then for the week 11 recap and I guess the preview of the Thanksgiving games. Vinny, thank you for joining me. Do you have anything to leave the listeners with as we go into wonderful Turkey Day?
No, have a fucking fantastic Thanksgiving, everybody. All these games will be bad except for the Falcons Saints game. So enjoy your family and then just kick them all out before the 8 o'clock game.
Yeah, I think that's the right way to do it. Make sure to get nice and drunk for that late game. It'll be a lot of fun and you'll be so full that you will feel like shit. It'll be pretty cool. Shrek and I should be back for the rest of the games, previewing the rest of the games. I think we will be recording that on Friday, so Shrek will get it to you as soon as he can. After that, keep an eye out on the podcast feed for that. So for Vinny and for Let's Talk Fantasy Football, I am Walsh. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving and later podcast.
This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Thanks for listening.